Hello, my name is Reverend Seth Nelson, and I am the pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Ronan, Montana. Join in weekly to hear the good news of God's love proclaimed over your life. You can follow us on Podbean and iTunes. God bless you this day.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Reading about King Jeroboam dooming the northern kingdoms of Israel to death by exile and King Herod lopping off John the Baptist's head does not make you grateful to live in a democracy, I'm not sure what will. God had warned the people since the time that they had entered the promised land that kings would tax them, steal their sons to put them in the army, and bring all manner of death and destruction. But the people wanted them anyway. And they believed that if they had a strong leader at the helm, then they would not get kicked around by other countries like they did during the time of the judges. Well, lo and behold, the kings that they yearned for so desperately seemed strong and able to resist other nations for a while, but proved only to bring about worse oppression and destruction for people in the end. It would seem that boastful arrogance of political leaders, like King Jeroboam taking on the mighty Assyrian Empire, does not actually make a country stronger, but only raises the stakes of how much the people will suffer down the road. Now, I was talking about these texts this week with a colleague who serves over in Helena, and he said, I don't see any good news in these passages. As Lutheran clergy, we are trained to look for the ways that Scripture condemns our sinfulness and the sinfulness of the world, but then gives way to the good news of God over our lives. This is often referred to in our church circles as the hermeneutics of law and gospel. Law would be things like the Ten Commandments, or other life lessons of Bible characters, and usually them messing up or something like that. Or other aspects of Scripture that tell us how we are broken and in the wrong, and thereby need the salvation that only God can give. Gospel, the good news, on the other hand, is what we preachers attempt to orient our sermons toward, so that the reality of Christ's salvation might be experienced in congregations like ours on a weekly basis. The good news definitely involves stories of the resurrection and stories of how we are forgiven in Jesus Christ. More broadly speaking, though, the good news of the Bible is found throughout Scripture because God has always been working to save us and bring us to new life, even from the time of Genesis and God's creative work. So when my colleague pointed out that he does not see any good news in our passages for today, a sentiment I agreed with him about in the moment, some red flags went off in our conversation. I got a little scared as a preacher. One of my seminary professors was fond of saying, "All Scripture points to Christ," which is to say that all of Scripture points to the good news. So what does it mean if we read stories like King Herod lusting after his daughter and then having to behead John the Baptist as a result? Or the prophetic words of Amos promising the ultimate destruction of Jeroboam? We read these and do not see how these passages point to Christ. Where is the good news in these traumatic stories? Well, fortunately for us, the truth of Scripture runs deep, and what many of us see at first glance can look different if we dig a little deeper and let the Word of God sink in a little more. What at first might seem to be just stories of judgment, wrath, and condemnation can give way to show us how God is still gracious and merciful. The Bible is really quite beautiful that way. And one of the deeper gospel truths of these passages is not in the stories themselves, but in the perspective from which they were written. Why are we reading about Jeroboam and the heretical prophet Amaziah? Are we reading from the book of Jeroboam or the book of Amaziah? No, we are not. We hear about these two from the book of Amos, the humble shepherd who was called out of nowhere to deliver God's truth to a blasphemous king and his evil mistress, Jezebel. It was Amos who lived to tell the story of how God had moved in his lifetime to scatter the northern tribes throughout the Assyrian Empire. Though the prophet Amaziah thought that he could silence Amos by turning the king against him. And after all, it was Amaziah in the king's court, not Amos. The Lord's truth prevailed through the mouth of a humble country bumpkin who had the faithfulness to speak above his station. There is good news in the fact that the truth which Amos spoke lived on, while the evils which Jeroboam perpetuated amongst the people did not. Amos sided with God, not the king, and his legacy lives on because of it. Now, similarly, we do not hear about John the Baptist from the book of Herod or from anything by his malicious wife and their daughter, Herodias. We hear about John the Baptist because he bore witness to the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. The only reason that any of us in this church today know a thing about Herod, his megalomaniac father by the same name, or his wife and their daughter, is because they tried to overpower the true representatives of God, and they lost. Their legacy is one of shame through the ages, retold amongst Christians for generations, because they spilled the blood of innocence. And they spilled the blood of innocence because they were afraid. They were afraid of the two that were sent from God into the world, John the Baptist and his cousin, Jesus of Nazareth. The good news for us is that they could not kill the ones that God sent to save us. While they were able to conspire with the Romans for power to kill both John and Jesus, the messengers of God won the long game. They are alive and well in eternity, giving hope and life to the downtrodden and oppressed ever since. The fact that we hear John the Baptist's story in such great detail through the words of Mark shows us that there is hope for a better future beyond the tyrants of this world. Jesus and his messenger prevailed, not by killing others, but by beating death itself, so that we are freed from any fear of our enemies. Finally, good news abounds in the metaphor that Amos used. His vision of God holding a plumb line to set the walls of Israel straight. Now, at first glance, once again, this image may seem a little frightening. I suppose if, for our contractors in the room, if you have a mind for construction, you probably relish the image of God holding a plumb line to make the walls of his people straight. We want our God to be a wonderful carpenter and stonemason, right? But for these northern tribes of Israel, the plumb line in God's hand did not mean that they would have a sure foundation for the future. With plumb line in hand, the Lord promised Amos that he would make the high places of Isaac desolate, the sanctuaries of Israel laid waste, and the house of Jeroboam brought down with a sword. This would not have been exactly good news if you are in the line of fire, right? But if we look deeper into this image and let it sink in among us, we can see a comparable image between the plumb line and the cross. Well, sure, God wants to set us straight and make us strong and sturdy. And one way of doing that seems to have been to cast out impurities and evil from amongst God's chosen as in the case of Jeroboam. However, in our Gospels we find a new covenant, a new plumb line that sets the walls of Israel straight, the cross of Jesus Christ. In the cross, Jesus took on all of our impurities, all of our sinfulness, all of our crookedness, weakness, and brokenness. And in the cross, God remakes us into people who are whole, restored, redeemed, and resurrected. Gone are the days of trusting that the only way for us to gain power over our enemies is by lopping off their heads or sending them back to the obscure countrysides. Gone are the days when kings ruled the kingdom. For the days when Christ rules with justice, truth, and mercy, those days have come and are here to stay. And Christ's plumb line, the cross, does not destroy us, but restores us from now into our infinite future with God. May the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds. In Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
I hope that you have enjoyed this week's sermon podcast. If you would like to hear more, read my blog, or get a copy of my book called The Church Unknown, go to www.revsethnelson.com. If you feel called to support our ministry, I invite you to go to our church's website at flcronan.org and click on the Offerings tab. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor.